A federal parliamentary committee is set to be established to investigate the possibility of recognising Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders in the Constitution. Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull says the committee, which has the backing of the opposition, will bring together the earlier work of the Referendum Council and other perspectives.
I was pleased to receive the Leader of the Opposition's response last Friday, and I expect we can now progress this important matter and establish the new Joint Select Committee.
Opposition Leader Bill Shorten has promised to legislate for an Indigenous voice to Parliament if there's no bipartisan commitment to holding a referendum. Mr Shorten has also promised to compensate survivors of the Stolen Generations if Labor takes over government.
Compensation's not about restoring people to the position they would have been in before what happened. But it is about resolving some of unfinished business of the apology.
Mr Shorten says a Labor government would convene a national summit on First Nations children in its first 100 days. The summit would bring together government representatives and leading analysts to determine the factors leading to child removal and target solutions to reduce the rate of out-of-home care. Last year, more than 17,000 Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children were living in out-of-home care, compared with around 9,000 a decade ago. Grandmothers Against Removal founder Hazel Collins has told SBS she wants the Prime Minister to convene a round-table discussion on the issue.
We need to have this meeting, we need to be able to have a voice, and we need to put our concerns and our children's concerns forward, because our children are out there suffering. They are losing their identity. They are losing their connection to their ancestral footsteps.
Ms Collins says tragically being taken away from family is a reality for many Indigenous Australians.
I myself was a grandmother affected by the removal of my grandchildren. I was deemed unfit. These people didn't even know me. All of my family were deemed unfit. I'm a grandmother of 36 children and yet I was unfit. And if that's not genocide, if that's not trying to wipe out a race, we are Australia's dirty little secret. And it's time for us to stand up and take control of our own communities and the safety and care of our children.
Meanwhile, the latest report card on the federal government's Closing the Gap strategy just released shows only three of its seven targets are progressing on track. The targets to improve the gap in child mortality, kindergarten enrolments and Year 12 attainment are on track. But the remaining four targets, including closing the 10-year gap in life expectancy between Indigenous and non-Indigenous Australians, are lagging. Indigenous Health Minister Ken Wyatt's told the ABC consistent healthcare remains the key to achieving the targets.
We have incredible achievements on a individual site-by-site basis. But what my challenge is, and the challenge of government, is to make that uniform, because when we make it uniform, we've got a far better chance of closing the gap.
Indigenous Labor Senator Pat Dodson says he's pleased with any improvement, calling even microscopic progress refreshing. Malcolm Turnbull insists jobs and setting up businesses are crucial to improving Indigenous Australians' lives, but he says ongoing success requires collaboration.
My commitment is to ensure that you have a central role in the evolving success story of the nation and our Northern Australia policy and its delivery. Now, I've reflected before that the Closing the Gap challenge is often described as a problem to be solved, but more than anything, it's an opportunity.
One Nation leader Pauline Hanson has revived her attacks on the taxpayer money being spent on Indigenous Australians. Senator Hanson says she remains concerned by high levels of Indigenous spending and suggests what she terms an Aboriginal industry is consuming taxpayers' dollars. Both sides of politics have been quick to condemn her remarks. Sonia Heidemann, SBS News.